One mic, one voice. You can change the world, it's your choice. One mic, one voice. You can change the world, it's your choice. One mic, one voice. You can change the world, it's your choice. One mic, one voice.
Welcome to the One Mic, One Voice show, Building the Collective Conscious, a show that is created to give space where your voice, ideas, and informed opinions can be heard, appreciated, and yeah, debated. I'm Michael Eric Owen.
And I'm DT.
Oh, man. It's so good to see you.
Man, you too, man. It's always positive. We had a very powerful launch the other day.
Yes.
And I took a lot away from that, man. I'd like to thank you for that time.
And, you know, anytime I can get the opportunity to be with you, it's always enlightening and also a blessing.
Huh. So just had Mother's Day pass us. Man, it was a good time.
Well, you know, I'm one of these cats where, you know, I lost my mom back in 2003. So, you know, Mother's Day is always kind of bittersweet for me. But, you know, shout out to all the mothers that are doing what they need to be doing with their kids and that are in their kids' lives. And hopefully they were celebrated. And I know you're fortunate enough to have your mother.
Yeah, man.
Which is a, man, it's an awesome thing, man. I mean,
being
you know,
a mom is hard, man.
Oh, man, look, they had to raise us.
Yeah, true. I mean, and being a son, I can truly attest to the challenge, you know, because, I mean, you know, me and my mom, and I'll share this real quick, we were just talking about, you know, kind of how we've come along, you know. There was a time when we struggled really hard just growing up trying to make it. And, you know, I've seen a lot of people post on Facebook, you know, how strong their mothers were and how courageous their mothers were and all these things that made them who they were. But, you know, to me, you know, we should be showing that that strength in our mothers, you know. And talking to my mom, us reminiscing about back in the day, we lived in an apartment complex. And at the time, I had no clue that we didn't have no furniture. And, you know, we're sitting there on like crates, like milk crates covered in newspaper. So it's like sectioned off in such a way that it looked like a couch.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's not, you know, me and my mom looking at each other like, man, you know, we've been through a lot of things. And it's like, still we're here. Still we're loving each other. And that was one thing that I could take away from my family, man, is that we always found it a point to make each other know that we loved each other, you know. And it was that made us. Made the difference and made the difference in us.
I mean, and again, you know, your story is one that our listeners should, you know, many of them will identify with, but be inspired by that and the journey through which you have come, the strength of your mother, the love of a family, you know, mom's was awesome. Everything, you know, I could do a whole show.
Yeah, we might
had to get the Kleenex out because, I mean, you know, she meant the world to me. And, you know, if anything I can say before we transition and get into today's show, if anything I can say is, and I'm so glad you brought this out, DT, if your mother is alive, show her the love she deserves. Mm. I mean, because if you're not in my position, you're going to get in my position. If you live as long as I do, you're going to get in my position.
Yeah.
And let me tell you something. I hear people all the time, I'm mad at my mother and me and my mom. Listen, folks, and we've said this on One Mic, One Voice, you got to make it right today.
Right.
Because tomorrow is not promised to us. If your mother was alive, if she's alive and she's still in your life, show her the love that she deserves.
That's right.
See what I'm saying?
Yeah, man. Necessary, vital, important.
And you know, today's show, we're talking about really unity, you know, in the family and the love that you brought up. But today we're going to be talking about why are we divided? Why are we truly divided? And we're going to take a break here in just a second. But I'm shocked by, okay, And this is not a political discussion, although we will talk some politics, but this is getting down to the root of our division. And what I will say, and this is a sidebar, I just can't leave this one alone, DT. I had to research it, man. Did you hear that Donald Trump does not know what the GI Bill is?
No, I did not.
Richard's shaking his head, yes.
Oh, wait. You know, I've seen some other atrocity,
and
too.
And you know what? When I saw that, I thought, no, that can't be true, man. So I had to do some research because I'm saying, now, hold up now.
Had to get into the professor mode.
I'm saying, if how can you not know what the GI Bill is? One of the most significant legislation passed, you know, in the history of this country. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But you want to be commander-in-chief.
Yeah, not understanding.
You don't even know what the GI Bill is. Come on, man. I'm going to say this. I understand there's some anger out there. I understand there's some mistrust. But truly, do we want to put a man in office that does not even know what the GI Bill is? As a veteran,
that's the
I'm beyond offended by that.
Feel the tensions.
I'm like, are you? Oh, my. Man, hey, listen. We're going to take a break before I just snatch this mic and break it. Hey, hang on, folks. We're going to be right back. DT, this segment is being brought to you by Selfie Moon. You know, we take those pictures, right? Uh-huh. That, you know, they all dark, man, and uh-huh. You can't even tell who you're trying to find the light, or you might even be in I ain't gonna even say in the club, because you might be in the club, let's say.
Professional events,
exactly,
right?
And you're trying to get that one picture, man, capture that moment. Well, listen, Selfie Moon is what you want to buy, man. It goes right on your phone.
Okay.
All right, man.
You can get the perfect lighting.
It's a brand new product. Folks, go to theselfiegods.com. That is theselfiegods.com. And guess what? When you buy one of those Selfie Moons, you're supporting the One Mic, One Voice show. A little bit go back to us so that we can continue to do what we do.
Thank you so much.
This show is also sponsored by Vector Roofing. Do you hear that? The sound of hail. More importantly, the sound of money leaving your pocket. But that can be prevented with Vector Roofing. We provide free estimates and cover your deductible, giving you a roof for the stormy season. We work closely with your insurance company and walk you through each step of the way. Give us a call at 405-259-6463. That's 405-259-6463. Also, like and follow us on Facebook and Twitter at Vector Roofing.
And we're back.
We are back. One mic, one voice, building the collective conscious. We want to talk about why are we divided? And maybe we can look at this, first of all, from a macro level and then work our way down. So when we think about, because we are divided, right?
Yes, yes.
I mean, if you're sitting out there thinking you're in a united country, and this is not just for the United States because we have international listeners. We have a world that is divided.
Mm-hmm.
But we're gonna try to keep our conversation as local as we possibly can. But yeah, we live in a country where people have dug in behind their ideological trenches.
Hmm.
Against one another. Now, we said we didn't want to have a necessarily a political discussion, but we're gonna talk about politics here for a minute because it's crazy out there right now.
Man, it's so complicated, you know. And somebody talked to me about this a week ago, and this guy was telling me, man, life is complicated. You know, there may be some things, you know, giving me this advice, you know, I'm like, okay.
Young man,
yeah.
Life is complicated.
You're like 70. And you're like, you know, man, life is complicated. And you know, there'll be some things that you look at and you really don't understand. But, you know, there are a lot of things that make up that thing to put it together. And we talked about this, you know, understanding to see the road, like the man to make the road, see the road. But the division comes at so many different levels. You know, we got so many different factors that play a part in our division. So even the subculture of life itself, what do you like to dance? Or you like to rap? Or you like to preach? Or you like to... I'm not going to say that one. But, but yeah, so yeah. And depending on what those influences were, you know, your ideas and your thoughts are directed a certain way. And even in that, you know, from day-to-day life, it's even hard to have a conversation with somebody. And you don't want to be too upfront about how you feel, because you know that that's going to create some division within, between you two. And I know a lot of people have gone through their lives and created friendships and all of these things. And there are still people that they don't really divulge all of their information to, because they know that at some level there could be some division, that relationship could be severed. There's just a lot of risk there.
Engaging in that which divides us should be able, in a healthy way, to bridge the divide. But what we see in our country is the engagement of that, man, it just makes that gulf even larger. Mm-hmm. Because what sets in? Anger. Mm-hmm. Okay, fear. You know, the fear, you know, so many people are afraid of having their assumptions and beliefs about life challenge.
And why is that? Because it comes with so much criticism.
Man, it's like
even deciding that you're going to think differently comes with its own criticism. Because the people that are around you that have been used to communicating with you in a certain way, and you decide to change it up, it's like, man,
what's wrong with Mike? Wrong?
You're right. You're right. You're tripping. You know, right. And it's just like,
right? No, it's true though, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you can't evolve. You can't change. Mm-hmm. And isn't that so sad? Because not. We are creatures of evolution. We evolve. I'm not the same as I was when I was a child.
Continuous.
I mean, some of us are.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm walking around, I'm looking at folks, I'm thinking you were probably the same way when you were two. You know what I mean? Like, what's wrong with that? But most of us evolve, man. We have experiences. We meet people. We emerge in a different culture. We go to school. We go to college. Mm-hmm. We go to graduate school. I mean, and we have all these experiences that begin to make us go, man, why do I believe that?
Right.
You know, that don't seem right to me. You know, or that's hate. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, I used to think that way, but no. You know, the scales have been removed from my eyes mm-hmm. now, and I see it. So why can't I change?
Let me ask you this question. I hate to answer a question with a question.
That's quite all right.
But if the people who had came before us, right, were teaching us the right things, why did it take us to become adults to have to think on our own, or put in situations where we had to think on our own? To start beginning to understand the truth. What I mean is, in a lot of people, we struggle as we evolve, as we grow in learning and understanding new things. It's like, how do I keep my foundation, those things that were taught to me as a youth, while also trying to understand and be on the right track with these new things that I'm learning? So that's also a conflict that mm-hmm. you have. So I'm asking, you know, how if the people who came before us taught us the right things, it takes us to grow up and then have to figure it out on our own. Why aren't we telling the truth from the beginning?
And I think that's a great question. And that goes back. That brings us. That's a great segue back to this idea of what's happening on the macro level. Mm-hmm. We have a society that is designed to divide. The structure itself is based upon division. Look at any census. Hmm. You know, let's talk about geography. Okay. Let's go back to a system of real estate covenants where blacks weren't allowed to buy a house in this area. Hmm. So you have a system. Talk about name discrimination now that works its way in the system when Shaquita comes in. You went on her resume, okay? And then guess what? Sally comes in. Well, I know she's black. I'm getting rid of her resume. Name discrimination happened to the Irish when they came here. Happened to the German. They took more Anglo-Saxon sounding names yeah. to avoid that. I mean, so we have a system built upon division.
Even in Africa, I met people, you know, and it's like their names are like American names. Mm. And I'm like... Now, John. One, yeah, right, John, right. Josh, right. Like, bro, you're not Josh, bro. I know Josh. Right. I've seen Josh. You're not Josh. But anyway, what I'm saying is, you know, they believe, and like you're saying with the name discrimination, is that if they have a name that is acceptable in the English language, something easy for people who are trying to communicate with them to understand and, you know, just kind of get quick, because... trying to really be yourself and, you know, identify yourself by the tribal name or whatever, that's a lot more complicated. But English is the language of business over there too. And so if I don't have a name that sounds like, you know, something that these people are familiar with, they may not come do business with me. Mm. I don't want to go do business with the with the Umukus,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
Rather go do it with the Johnsons or with the Thomases. You know what I mean?
Right.
And it's just them little bitty things that, that even still divide because we don't know enough about each other.
Yeah, and when you were talking, I mean, it's interesting because it's about conformity, right? Mm-hmm. You know, let me conform. Let me conform to this whatever idea that, that I think is acceptable in the mainstream instead of being my own independent agent. Mm-hmm. And, you know, instead of having my own name, you know, my own thoughts, my own beliefs, and being, as we call this, having the autonomy, you know, being autonomous enough to challenge my own self, to say, why do I believe that? No, really. You know, what? I know mama said that, but, man, that ain't, you know, no, mama was wrong, right? I mean, what is the fear in the fact that we change what we were taught when we were growing up? Because the system affected our sires. Those who were teaching us, the system affected them. And so they tried to teach you in a way that you could navigate.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you know, that's they tell you the truth. It's survival. I said to my uncle, you know, he was really the man that raised me. I said to my uncle, I said, Unc, we on the phone. I said, man, why you tell me it was so difficult to be a black man in America? Mm-hmm. He said, nephew, I decided to tell you. He said, but I figured you'd find out sooner or later anyway.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
I mean, you know, hopefully before it's not too late. You know, like, man.
I didn't want to crush you, you know what I mean?
Yeah. And a part of it is protecting that innocent part of you that don't want to face the world for what it is. Really,
absolutely.
Because as a child, you want, and I think, man, like being at a birthday party, like for a kid, it's like everything, like you want to make sure the kid happy. You bring the balloons, you bring all of the characters and his friends and all of that stuff. You know, it's like this celebratory thing. And all of that is for the kid just to be happy and for him to have, you know, a memorable time on that
world
birthday.
Is perfect.
But after a while, it's like some of that, even as we get older, we don't celebrate our birthdays. You know, it's like that's just another day, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But we still do that for the kids, you know, so that the kids will have some type of hope for the future, I suppose, that everything is good, although we know that things are not so good sometimes.
Hey, listen, folks, a PSA, get rid of the toy guns from your little birthday parties. Did you see that one now, that phone case that looks like a pistol?
Yeah, I did see that. And I think that's a dangerous idea.
Do not buy that.
But Oklahoma.
Do not buy that. Okay? Do not buy that. You know, you're getting jacked anyway. You don't even have one of those.
Don't
buy it.
You don't want to put yourself in a position where people can speculate or determine on their own whether or not you're a threat to them.
Division, folks. Why are we divided? We're going to take a break, and we will be right back.
Hi, this is Tiffany Hill, host of Authentic Conversations, and you can find this podcast on Podbean and iTunes by searching Authentic Conversations. Be sure to rate us and leave a review. Thank you.
This is Dr. Paul Ketchum, and I fully support One Mic, One Voice, and I recommend you do the same.
Welcome back to the One Mic, One Voice show. You know, DT, I want to take it a little higher for a minute. Let's talk about the leaders, because I believe that division, well, it's almost like an arc, right? I mean, you know, there division is taught in the home, but I also believe division is taught at this level of leadership, okay? And so I truly believe that we have more followers in this country than we have leaders. And we have people that, you know, they cannot be independent thinkers. They cannot be critical thinkers. They don't challenge what the mainstream media is. They just simply being led. Mm-hmm. And so we have these leaders. And, you know, I mean, whether you on the right, on the left, you know, Clinton's got an agenda. Trump's got an agenda. There's a Republican agenda. There's a Democratic agenda, right? Mm-hmm. Okay. So you have this political agenda out there that's trying to lead us in one direction or the other. There is no compromise. That division there keeps us from moving the country forward in the way that benefits the least among us.
So in trying to come up with some type of merger, we have bipartisanship, right?
That's what they say.
So could you explain how even the parties that are divided reach a bipartisan decision together? How does that?
Well, I don't think we've seen bipartisanship ever since President Obama got into office. Hmm. Bipartisanship, reaching a sort of compromise is what government is all about. It's about having this debate over ideas, debate over what is best for the country in a very healthy way. It could be even in a heated way. But at the end of the day, the bipartisanship means that I don't get everything I want. I get some things I want. I compromise, mm-hmm. just like in a normal relationship. Mm-hmm. You know, you want to go to the movies. Yeah, I want. Well, what movie you want to see? Well, I want to see. What time you want to go? So that's all right. Yeah. That's all compromise, right? Yeah. And then at the end, you find yourself with some popcorn. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
That's what we want them to get, some popcorn, right? Mm-hmm. But the division, and I think it has a lot to do with why we can't reach bipartisan. On these issues. Number one, it has to do with the race of the president. I don't care what anybody says. His policies, you can disagree with his policies, but how do you move his policies toward something that works for the country? When he puts up a nominee, I'm just going to make my point here. When he puts up a nominee, his job to nominate a Supreme Court justice, okay, in the death of Scalia, and you sit up and say, I'm not going to even meet with him. So where's bipartisanship in that? Where's it? You can't compromise. Mm-hmm. If you won't have the conversation.
No, we don't want to play with you.
Exactly. Isn't that so childish? Mm-hmm. That's exactly what it is. You know what I'm saying? No, mm-hmm. I don't want to share with you. I don't want to play with you.
Taking my ball over there.
Exactly.
It's crazy.
Exactly. But that's where we're at. And when you have that stalemate, but this is so important, DT. I'm glad you brought this up, man. This is so important because it permeates throughout the culture. Mm. And so when you see that, it's like when you see mom and daddy, okay, not getting along and fighting, and you see how daddy reacting to mama, this, that, and the other thing. Then you see little sister girl over there as a little boy. What do? You start mimicking that. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And what's happening in our culture, we're mimicking that uncompromising position. We're mimicking the anger, the hatred, the bigotry. It's all being worked out in because we see it at the national level. Mm. And it seems normal, right?
Right. A sickness, though.
It is a sickness.
Uh-huh.
A disease.
And as you were talking, I was thinking about, you talked about the bipartisanship and the divide even there sometime. And in politics, to me, and I'm like, you know, we have two sides, one extreme side, one other side. And if the idea is that they're making decisions for the greater good of everybody, why do we need two sides to decide one? Is it because they need some type of foundation on each side? Like you have to have these core values on this side or that side. And then we make our decisions from there. You know, family's important to you. Career is important to you. You know, these little things, and then we decide that we all like this, so we can agree to make decisions on these other things.
Mm-hmm. I think you hit it on the head when you talk about having just two parties. Mm-hmm. I mean, you look at, Britain, for instance, a multi-party system. We have a two-party system. Although you can create a third party, you can never get enough votes to make a difference. Now, think about it like this, okay? You got 100 in the Senate, right? So say, for instance, if you had, let's say you had 45 and 45, 45 Republicans, 45 Democrats, right? And then you had 10 independents or 10 third party. Now, that third party, those 10 individuals, they got a whole lot of power. Yeah. Because you got to get them on their side to get anything moved. You see what I'm saying? So But our system, again, remember this, our system is designed to divide. That's why it's so difficult to get a third party, because if you got two parties, you can have a stalemate. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You got a third party. I don't care if you can have 98 senators and you got two independents. Well, you know what? They got to come get my vote. Mm-hmm. They need me. And all of a sudden, you have another voice, you see, within the conversation. Yeah. But when you have two groups that say, you know what, we're not going to work with one another, we're not going to agree on anything, you have a stalemate, and there's no answer to that, yeah. Okay? It's sad, but we're mimicking that.
Why
at the local level.
It? Like, to me, like, right now, the political game is a wrap, you know?
Let me tell you why we continue. I'm a U.S. senator, or I'm a representative. I'm making money. I got health care. My family's taken care of. Where do I feel the pain? Where do I feel the pain?
When your stomach hurt at night.
I'm doing great. you understand. If you look at the amount of millionaires that are in Congress right now, you'd be shocked. There is a disconnect between those who are called to make decisions about us than us. They don't know what it's like to be down here on the grassroots. They have no idea what is the majority of them. Maybe there are a few, but the majority of them have no clue what it means like to be working in education system, on the front lines, dealing with kids that are hungry, with broken families. They have no clue. And when you have that disconnect, it is easy for you to play these political games that are damaging the core of our society. Mm-hmm. So why do we do it? We don't do it. They do it to us.
Oh, my goodness.
We don't do it. They do it to us. And you know what's so funny?
Go ahead.
I was going to say what's so funny is they had a survey out talked about how, you know, because Congress always has this low approval rating, right? But when you ask a particular group of people about their congressman or congresswoman, oh, they love him. Mm. Oh, they love him. Okay. Oh, yeah, he's great or she's wonderful. Uh-huh. But Congress is all jacked up. Mm-hmm. And you know what kills me
like,
further?
Like, are we on a part of it?
Exactly.
Part of the problem?
And you know what kills me when people are part of Washington, we have these political leaders that are part of Washington, and they're telling you how broke Washington is. But you're part of the system.
Yeah, pockets lying too. Money.
I mean, it's to me, it's at the height of hypocrisy for you to sit up there and criticize the very system that you are invested in and working in every day and getting paid. Well, you don't want universal health care, but you got universal health care as a member of Congress.
But the intention is then that they sit in those seats to make a difference, right? That would be their argument. Yes, I am a part of it, but I do it because I'm wanting to change the community.
I mean, it's so true, though, right? Every one of them will tell you that. Everyone will tell you that. And listen, man, I got some congressional friends. I got some folks that are senators, and I got some representatives that are my friends. And let me tell you something, okay?
I'm not mad at you.
And what I'm saying is I know some that have a heart for people. But what I'm saying to you is this. That division is real. On that macro level, is working its way down to the state level. Look at the states.
Yeah.
Look at the states. The states are jacked up. I mean, you look at Oklahoma. Look at Wisconsin. Look at Illinois. I mean, look around the country. Look at Mississippi. Look at what happened just now in North Carolina, because you heard about how Jordan, man, I was happy to see Michael Jordan do that, man. He came out and said that that he going to move the team. Charlotte, he said, we coming out of there. He said, unless you repeal this law, okay, this discriminatory law, we going to move. And the NBA is saying they're going to move the All-Star game. I mean, it takes that sort of leadership and pressure to say unacceptable,
yes,
people.
Yes, yes, yes.
That's what I'm talking about. That only that things like that And at where we get toward the end of the podcast, we're going to talk about where we need to go from here. But only initiatives like that, DT, is going to change the trajectory of all this foolishness that we hear.
Right, because you then hold people accountable.
Hold them accountable. I'm gone.
Yeah. Yeah.
And when you start hitting them in the pocketbook.
Oh, yes. And that's what we're talking about, though, because power is what we're talking about. We say Michael Jordan have the influence to be able to shake up an economic system, to be able to shake up a social system there in South Carolina or North Carolina. Just by saying, you know, I'm not down with that foolishness y'all with over there.
I'm moving.
And that get people to rise up and say, well, let's think about what Michael Jordan said. Right. Are we being irrational? Are we thinking this thing all the way through? You know, it began to raise questions because people don't want to lose that money.
Yeah.
They know how big of an influence Michael Jordan has been to that state, to that city, and him taking his mark, taking his stamp of approval off of it would be detrimental.
I have no desires to go to North Carolina. I'm just going to tell you like that. I know we probably got some listeners in North Carolina. Much love to you. But some folks even say that about Oklahoma, though. So yeah. I ain't mad at you. I was going to say something.
A lot of people talk bad about Oklahoma.
Yeah, I was going to say something, but I didn't.
We're a great state.
If I had some of that special mix in here, I probably would have.
Yeah.
I probably would have.
Richard, get you right. Yeah, you just got to ask him where he keep it.
He'd be hidden, man. You know, it's like every time he just like wiping his mouth and stuff, man. I'm like, did he just drink something?
Came out of microphone.
Got a little lid straw on. So, yeah, he got a straw. The microphone. Got his mouth on the microphone. Hey, folks, hang on. Get your special mix because at One Mic, One Voice, we love having a conversation. And, folks, we'll be right back.
This is Elijah Bailey.
This is Richard Taplin.
From the Elijah Bailey Show, bringing you all the content that you could ever desire about anime, manga, comic books, martial arts, fitness, and more.
You can find us at Elijah Bailey Show on the official Facebook page and also Elijah Bailey Show without the W on Twitter and Instagram.
Make sure to follow, subscribe, like, comment, and rate on iTunes and Podbean.
Hey guys, my name is Jeremy Burudi. I'm from Africa, in a country called Kenya, in a city of Mombasa. And Africa love the One Mic, One Voice broadcasting. Keep it locked. Love you guys. Cheers. I'm out.
Welcome back. We're so happy you here, you staying with us, you hanging with One Mic, One Voice.
Yeah.
And, you know, I have to just throw in there about our One Mic, One Voice podcast Facebook page. We have great conversation going on there. By all means, listen, go there. We got great content again. Hit us up. You know, keep the conversation going after this. And we created a One Mic, One Voice group page.
Yeah, that's been very powerful, man. People are really there to express and reveal, you know, some of the true feelings that we feel and not always able to say. So get involved with that group. Open yourself up a little more, stretch yourself out a little bit more, and you'll enjoy the content we have there at the group page as well.
And you know what I love about it, DT? It's this idea of I can disagree, but still be respected in a healthy way.
Right.
You know, this is not a group that has groupthink. Okay, we're not all thinking alike. We're not all writing alike. But this is a place, a space. Tell me, where is there a space where you have permission to be yourself?
And it's not even in our own mind sometimes.
Absolutely.
You know what? Mike, it's complicated.
It is complicated.
It's complicated.
You like the OG it now. It's complicated.
Yeah, because even having to explain, it's like, you know, and like we talked about, having to, you know, hold part of yourself back. For the sake of relationships, for the sake of being able to get through the day, for the sake of somebody not thinking you out your mind. It's just these things we have to do that help us cope and get along. But at the same time, further divide us because nobody's being honest and nobody's being upfront about the real issues that are plaguing us every day.
Absolutely. And we have to talk about them. That's what this group is all about. You got to ask permission to get in, though. Mm-hmm.
Just gonna approve anyone.
You gotta have a secret code.
If you have your clothes off in your profile picture, you will not be getting a add-on.
No. And again, I mean, this is a group for critical thinkers. This is a group for, you know, folks that want to learn. Okay, this is about lifelong learning. It's about being enlightened. And so this is not about, it's not about politics, or it's not about partisanship, it's not about any of that stuff. It's about talking about issues that you think are important to you, that we know are important to us also, but discussing that in a very healthy way. And I'm going to encourage you, please go request. But we probably going to scroll down your little page, though, before we say yes. Okay. Our problems. Think about the things that we are promised in education. Education. I mean,
the promises of education, man, are the biggest lie sometimes, you know, because even thinking to have to encourage kids to study all they can and get the best education they can doesn't even promise them something, you know. It's just like, do that, but there are some other things you need to have along with it. Some of those things you were supposed to pick up on your own. Some of those things should have been taught to you a little bit further in detail, but regardless, it's going to take more than just being educated to be able to really shift and change things.
No doubt. And like you say, the complexities of education. And one thing they are promised, though, is debt. Okay, let's just keep it real. Okay, it's going to cost you. If you're trying to get an education, you're trying to move up, you know, the socioeconomic ladder, because education and income correlate with one another, it's going to cost you some money. But we're divided on how we can even administer education.
We're divided on where we go get our education.
Absolutely.
Oh, this went to St. Gregory's University. No. You know, it's like, it's insane. It's really insane.
I mean, and you're so right. I mean, this idea of one university, I guess, being better than another, or being more prestigious than another university, being more respected than another university. I think, my alma mater is the University of Wisconsin, Parkside. I think I had one of the best educations in the nation. And it's a funny story, man. I did this internship with this cat from Yale, right? And I mean, he was like, yeah, I'm from Yale. And it's like, you know. So, man, we sit around and we start talking. Man, I mopped that dude up every day.
I believe it.
And, you know, he said, and I was telling him, you know, about the relationships, man, I had with my professors, man, Professor Gillard and Professor Smith and others, man. I talked about those relations. He said to me, he said, you know what? And this is when my internship was almost over. He said, I envy your education. I said, what do you mean? He said, it was so many people in my class. He said, I never got close to my professors. Mm. And so that goes to show you that, you know what, we get caught up. Again, we get caught up in the vanity of life. I went to Yale. I went to Harvard. Don't get me wrong. I have nothing wrong with, if I had the opportunity to go to Yale or Harvard, I probably would have went. I'm not speaking against that. But what I'm saying is, this idea that education should be somehow, you know, divided into good and the bad and the best and the worst, you know, learning should be lifelong.
That's the basis, huh?
You see what I'm saying? Lifelong, and regardless of whether you did it at my alma mater, whether you did it at Duke, whether you did it at St. Gregory's. I mean, look at you sitting up here from St. Gregory's, Langston University, just going off on the microphone, just giving knowledge. You see what I'm saying? So what I'm saying, if you have a desire to learn, I don't care where you went, you will learn something. You will grow if your mind is open. But we're even divided when it comes to education, how to fund it, you know, where the great teachers should go. You know, the problem is with the teachers. The problem is not with the problems with the parents. The problem is not with the parents. We need more social services. No, we don't need more. I mean, the list goes on and on. But at the same time, though, DT, who's suffering?
Yeah, everybody.
Thank you.
Everybody suffers from it. Because like we talked about before, nobody gets to be transparent. And at the end of the day, if the idea is unity, then why the division? But, you know, you said something a minute ago about good and bad. And I heard this cat talk a while back about that being the reason why we're divided in the first place, is that we have to identify or describe something as rather good or bad. And so whether I think or not Wisconsin is a good place to stay based on what somebody may have told me, you know, good or bad, that's going to be my idea about that place. Whether or not it's true.
Yeah.
But in my mind, I'm already counting Milwaukee out or Wisconsin now because somebody told me it was a bad place to stay.
So yeah, they're killing people up there.
Yeah. And so I think even if we can peel back the barrier of good and bad to just see things for what they are, and this guy's saying also, you know, inside of us is just our innate wanting to pursue happiness in our lives. So rather I get there by accomplishing great things and doing things in life and being a person that is quote unquote good, you know, that's my walk. Rather the cat next to me want to slash a tire, rob your car, you know, do these other things to make himself happy, you know, that's his walk, you know. But the thing is, there are negative and positive consequences to everything that we do. And so based on just that, you know, if I go to college, there are some positive consequences to that. If I go rob somebody's car, there are consequences to that as well. Yeah. It's just a matter of choosing. Mm-hmm. But it's not a matter if it's good or bad. It's just how that person or how you decide to move and navigate the world, I suppose.
Yeah, I mean, that's man, we could do a whole show on not just how this division, how labeling is used to divide us, but also these value judgments you talk about, good and bad. I mean, it's got to be in one camp or the other. I mean, and when you see the world in good and bad, or good and evil, or, you know, best, better, you know, when you see the world and place those value judgments on things, that's at the root of division. Mm-hmm. And like you said, most of the time it's based upon non-factual information.
Exactly.
I heard from dude, you know, dude said he was in Milwaukee, man, he got robbed, you know what I mean? So, man, they're killing people. Before you know, all of Milwaukee.
Yeah.
Just like Chicago, right? Mm-hmm. People talk
you
about
say the word Chicago, people like, whoa, no.
I'm like, dude, that's Inglewood.
There are no nice parts there.
That's exactly. I'm like, man, Chicago is a beautiful city. Now, there's places you cannot go, like every city. Mm-hmm. But to infer that to the entire state, you know, all of a sudden now the entire state is dangerous, you know. I mean, it further, just think about the language now. The language we use fuels the divide, you see. So I've sent this person away with something they didn't come with. Now they're going to use that same language.
And it spread like that.
And it spreads like that.
Man. Wow.
And so we are part of creating division, even with the language that we use. And again, we're going right back. We're going right back to the macro, because the language that we're hearing is a language of division. And that works its way into the protesters and those who are standing up for this candidate. It's the language in which they use that further divides us.
Man, I'd like to end this point on what this guy also said. And I'll find his name. I'll mention on another podcast. Mm-hmm. But, man, it was so deep about how, you know, these little things that we just are stupid. Like, we're small in the world. I don't know if you've looked at
small.
The universe and, you
small.
Know, other planets. And, like, man, you are small,
small
in this place, you know. And then the things that you think are making you angry and that are upsetting you to the point where you having a physical reaction, you want to throw up, somebody made you so mad, you know. And why? Because of what, you know, that division somebody put in your mind about an idea that was not right based on what somebody else taught you, that was probably wrong.
Absolutely. Not based upon your experience.
No. And so he's saying that our actions are determined by our intelligence, not by our morality. And what he's saying is that if you have the ability to think more than you have the ability in yourself to want to do something that made you feel good because you thought it was good or bad, you know, what you know is going to move your action more to, you know, the right or wrong thing,
absolutely,
quote unquote. But at the root of it, it's just like you're more apt to act based on things that are in your mind, your intelligence, than what you think is something that's a good deed, so to speak.
And you're talking about rationality, mm-hmm. really. Knowledge, being rational, critical thinking, all of these things that, you know, when people say, well, I was just led by my heart or I was led by my emotions, that's not rational. Mm-hmm. Rationality means, you know, what facts do I have? Mm-hmm. You know, what, you know, this axiom, okay, that everybody mm-hmm. assumes to be true, right? Is that rational? I mean, is that rational? I remember, man, you know superstitions, man. You growing up, man, especially being black. Yeah. I mean, it's all don't put your shoes here, don't put your coat here, pick your, you know what I'm saying? Don't split the pole. I mean, all that stuff. You just like, well, why? You know, oh no, it's all, you know, some of that stuff is just crazy.
Yeah, it is.
But emotionally,
felt it.
Oh man, we split the pole, man. I was jacked up. Mm-hmm. Come on, we got to go back.
And then,
right?
Oh my god. Say for instance, say we split the pole, right? And then I trip over the stop right, in the street, right. And now I'm blaming that on the reason. Like, okay, so Mike, we shouldn't have split that pole,
right,
man.
Right.
I've been having bad luck ever since.
And exactly.
It's like, no, man, you just having bad luck because you're not thinking. Man. You need to be, okay.
No,
okay,
but no, you're exactly right. You know how that becomes then our mindset, man. Listen, we might have to do a part two here because we're not even halfway through what we're trying to do, folks. We're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back.
Hi everyone, this is Roxy Davis.
And this is Deborah Burris. And we are
the Roxy by Design Show. Our show is designed to bring healing as we share our stories while God redesigns our lives.
So take a ride with us.
So you can find us at
Podbean, iTunes,
Facebook and Twitter,
and
blackandstudios.com. So thank you everyone for listening to the Roxy by Design Show. You have a blessed day.
And we love you.
Hey, listeners, this is Jeremy Evans, the host of the GamerStand podcast.
This is John Stone.
And Josh Martin.
And if you want to listen and follow us, you can find us at the GamerStand on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter.
Or you can also search us and subscribe to the show on Stitcher Radio, iTunes, or Podbean.
And if you would like to be a guest on the show, you can also leave questions, comments, reviews at our email, thegamerstand@gmail.com.
Welcome back to the One Mic, One Voice show. Brother, the meter was going up.
It was, man.
Man,
I'm back in the green.
You're back in the green because you was, you know, that's why I had to go to break. I had to put some water on the brother, cool him off, or got a towel around him like he Mike Tyson or something. But, you know, I mean, I just want to just kind of run through some of these things and, you know, maybe we got some things coming up, folks, that are pretty exciting. Got some shows coming up. We might have to come back to this and sometime in the future, but you know, we're further divided along this idea of access to healthcare. Mm-hmm. This is what kind of boggles my mind. Okay. Why would we ever think that a person is not entitled when they are sick? Mm. Or let's even back up, preventative care. Mm. Why would we ever think that a person is not, that some people are and some are not entitled to be taken care of by a doctor?
Like there's not any money out there for those people.
This is what we're talking about. See, now we're talking about the division because the question is this, DT. Why would I think that way? Because you know what? Those people are not working. Mm-mm. They're in Section 8 housing. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm out here working my job, taking care of my family. Why are my tax dollars going to help these people? Let me tell you why your tax dollars, my tax dollars are going to help. You quote unquote these people because they are human. Hmm. Because they were born just like you and me. Mm-hmm. Because they have the same needs that you and I have. I mean, think how horrible, man, I've heard people say horrible things about poor people as if they should be punished for their poverty.
Or like it's easy.
Oh my God.
You know what? To even have to take that ridicule every day and knowing in other people's mind that you're half worth what they see you as because of your position, or because they think that you're poor, because they think that you don't have a proper way of taking care of yourself and for your family.
Listen, my tax dollars go to build roads, bridges, okay? It go to fund some of these things that I don't even care to fund, some research I don't even care to fund. How dare my tax dollars do not go to feed the hungry, to shelter the homeless, to help those that are sick? If you say what my tax dollars want to, give me the choice where to put my tax dollars at. I guarantee it wouldn't be in building roads and streets and lights and all that other kind of stuff. I want my tax dollars to go invest in the people that are suffering in our country. And to have a twisted, that you okay with building streets. You okay with building a city park. You okay with you know what I'm saying, building this hotel, bringing in development to build a hotel. But how dare you give it to that single mother that's got that sick kid? That's deep.
Because how does that enrich the society then? If you're saying, I'll appropriate my dollars for this, 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 but I don't have any for that, you know?
It doesn't. And it's and to me, it's unethical to be okay with a, just like we got this thing, this, you know, and I applaud David Bourne of Oklahoma for pushing through this penny sales tax for education. And people, you know, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm just not one of these guys that are out here yelling against paying tax. I just want to know where my taxes are going. Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm blessed. I thank God for the position that I'm in. I got food on my table. Mm-hmm. I own my own house. I got my own cars. Mm-hmm. I'm in relatively good health. I'm blessed. Why in the world would I not want that for somebody else?
Right. Like, that ain't a human right, like
thank
you
said.
Thank
you. Man, this healthcare thing, folks, I'm telling you, if you want to blow my meter off, this will blow my meter off. I can't wrap my head around. Why are we fighting against folks having access to healthcare?
You know, I think about any of us really being in those last moments of your life when you've tried everything, you've reached out to everybody, you've expended every resource you could to be able to live another day, to be able to not feel pain for another moment, and nothing came your way. And you wondered to yourself, man, is this what life was about? Is this where, I mean, all the people that ever told me in my life that they loved me or that they cared about me, that I can be anybody or do anything, where were those people when I really needed them?
Man, yeah.
And, you know, for anybody to be in that position is terrible. You know, to have to reflect back on nothing, you know, everything being a joke.
Yeah. Yeah.
And nobody coming to your rescue to say, you know what, man, go to the hospital. Yeah. Here's money for some medication so you can take care of yourself, so you can start to feel better, so you can start to mobilize yourself again. Man, but we put people in those positions every single day. Every single day. And right now somebody is suffering because they don't have the health care they need. And are going to pass because of somebody else's
absolutely
neglect to take care of the situation.
Because we don't think it's a right. I mean, we've had that on Facebook. We've had a discussion where, frankly, I've been told healthcare is not a right. Somehow I have to earn to be taken care of. I mean, that doesn't make any sense to me, man. We were born into this world as an innocent child. And what comes with that is humanity's promise to ensure that you are taken care of. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Why, somewhere in that slogan falls this idea of, if I'm sick, number one, I should be able to get taken care of, and I shouldn't have a debt that's going to keep me from bettering my life.
Yeah, who are you going to pay to?
Poor people, man. They, they go to the ER and you slap them with a bill. So it's a never, they can never get out of that. And truly, if we want to have economic growth, this healthcare issue is a no-brainer, because you make sure people have preventative care. You make sure people are healthy so they're not going to the ER. So this debt is not being piled on, but these idiots, these fools seem to think that I don't want my tax dollars going in. I work. Mm-hmm. I'm glad you got a job, man. I'm happy. Mm-hmm. I'm happy for you. I applaud you. You got a job. Good on you. But you know what? Everybody's not that blessed. Mm-hmm. What did Devin just do? Okay, Devin Energy just laid off 700 people. Mm-hmm. And these were not 700 uneducated people. These were 700, folks, some engineers. Mm-hmm. Folks, okay? You know what? My heart broke for those families. They had to let go. I'm not talking against Devin. They have to make a corporate decision. But what I'm saying is you seem to think you got people out here with PhDs that are struggling.
Mm-hmm. Broken promises, huh?
Broken promises. And you seem to think your tax dollars, like somehow you funding it yourself. That's ridiculous, man. We are divided on health care, and health care should be one of those elementary things that we agree on. I mean, like come to the table, but man, you hurt. Yeah. You should get some help. Right. Yeah. Go ahead and suffer. You don't work. Go ahead. You know what I'm saying?
That's what you're saying to them.
Exactly.
Pretty much, yeah.
Go ahead and suffer. Well, you work. You got some money? Oh, no. Go ahead and suffer. Mm. Who would say that? Okay, but it's wrapped up in all this economic nonsense, you see. Education, brother. Health care.
We'll have to do a second segment,
man.
Sure.
We're going to have to. But you know what? We're gonna close here in just a little bit. But this living wage.
Living wage.
Not minimum wage.
Living wage.
I think we need to get rid of the term minimum wage. Because that means.
Yeah, I can pay you nothing. I mean, I have a lawful amount of money that is little that I can give you.
But you can't live on it.
No, you can't live on that.
Living
wage. I mean, man,
wage.
It's difficult. You know, even yourself as a professional person, somebody have gone through the job force, being able to do different things, understand economics in the way that it works, in the way that you need money to do certain things, you know, to be able to put yourself in certain situations. And it's like without that opportunity, you just fall in the gaps like the people who probably came before you did, and the people that came before you did, and the people that came before you did, because nobody was given that livable wage, that wage that could move them to a level of thinking that they could plan their money out. Because you live in paycheck to paycheck, your thought process is in that time frame. What am I going to do this week?
Mm-hmm.
When you're making some money, you can save money and make money. You're thinking, man, what can I do to make some more money later
Absolutely.
On?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I have never seen anyone with a vision make it come to reality without some level of resources. Mm-hmm. And money being a big thing. I look around this beautiful studio, Black and Studios, okay? Got the monitors. We got the TV screens. We got the mics. We got the board, headphones. I mean, that just didn't drop in here. Mm-hmm. Somebody just didn't show up and say, well, hey, here you go. Yeah. You know, I want to know you got a dream. Mm-hmm. It cost, mm-hmm. okay? And so the idea that somehow people can work. Yeah, this book, man, I've always told people, read the book called The Working Poor. You know, people seem to think just because you got a job, you can make it.
No.
I don't know how you, what is it, $7 and something now? I don't know.
Man, you got people now that push themselves to sacrifice losing sleep, time with their families, time for their hobbies, time for their mental health, to be able to work 2 and 3 jobs, you know, just to sustain life
just
for
to
themselves.
Make it. Just to make, you got to have a and car. Okay.
All that time they spend is still, that money is not stretching far enough to compensate for that paycheck. I don't get enough out of this paycheck to supplement the time I spent trying to make it, the sacrifice I went through trying to make this money.
And see, that's the difference, DT. The difference with the decision makers, the policy makers, when they have never been in that struggling position, when they figure out, okay, I'm making this much an hour, my rent is this, electricity is this, oh, I can't even afford internet. Mm. Okay, so, man, I need to get a car because how I'm going to get back and forth to work because, you know, dude's not going to be letting me carpool with him forever. Mm. Who want to be in that situation? Mm. I mean, but we demonize that person.
Yeah, if they don't have it right.
You know, we demonize that person. And in our closing minutes, you know, you brought this up earlier, but we want to say, well, where do we go from here, folks? We got other things that we need to talk about when it comes to division. But let me say this. Our definition of success further divides us. It might be the biggest division that we have. Make America great again. So his definition of success is we need to take America back.
And from who, though?
Exactly. My idea might be America hasn't reached her greatness. We need to further transform it, okay? So you see where this division, we're moving in two separate directions, okay? We have a country that is moving in two separate directions. A group that want to say, take America back, take my country back, and a group that's saying, America, you have never, ever fulfilled your promises to me.
That's heavy.
That's where we're at. That's where we're at. And unless we start having that conversation, where do we go from here? We need to start talking about the things that divide us and why they divide us and understanding them in a critical way that we can start transforming them on our local level. It's got to start on the local level, folks. Listen, Trump, Hillary, their messages are different, further division. I don't care whether you agree with one or the other, doesn't matter. I agree with one and not the other, doesn't matter which one I agree with. If you read my writings, you'll figure out who I agree with. Let me say this. That's going to further divide you. DT, you've always said it. This thing, we have to attack this on the local level, in our homes, in our communities, at our school. That's where we start attacking the division because it's caught up. Get this, folks. In the language we use.
Yes, man. We talked about this so many times. In the language you use to communicate with ourselves, with our friends, with our children, all these things have their effects. And we have to be cognizant of the language that we use to communicate with the rest of the world.
And this is so deep. Parents, be cognizant of the language you use with your children. Mm-hmm. Teachers, be cognizant of the language you use with your students, the language of division. And you might not intend for it, but listen to the things that you are telling them and how you are shaping their worldview. And I guarantee you, there's a bunch of division in there. Why? Because you have been taught that way.
Somebody planted it.
Somebody
that
planted
bad
it.
Seed.
We have been taught that way. Man, deep. One mic, one voice.
Man, you can change the world. It's your choice.
Absolutely, folks. And I just want to say we can make our world a better place. It is up to you. It's up to me. It's up to us. We have to. You heard DT talk about our slogan. You know, you can change the world. It's your choice, because eventually history will speak of us. Somewhere in the distant future, a scribe will reach down deep into the archives of our time. And what will she find? Will she discover that we overcame our differences? Will she find that out of many, we became one? Or will she find that we solved nothing and remain a divided people? Yes, history will speak of us.
We can make a difference if we try. We can be the change that's in our lives. All we gotta do is work together. We gotta raise our children better. We gotta stop the hate, and spread the love.
One mic, one voice. You can change the world, it's your choice. One mic, one voice. You can change the world, it's your choice.
One
mic, one voice. You can change the world, it's your choice.
One
mic, one voice. You can change the world, it's
your choice.
Thank you.
Today's broadcast is being brought to you by Blacken Studios. To learn more about Blacken Studios, please visit them at blackenstudios.com or visit them on their Facebook page, Blacken Studios. Today's broadcast is also being brought to you by Perry Publishing and Broadcasting. To learn more about Perry Publishing and Broadcasting, please visit their website at perrypublishingandbroadcasting.net. The opinions of the One Mic, One Voice show do not reflect the views of Blacken Studios or Perry Publishing and Broadcasting. Thank you for downloading the One Mic, One Voice show.